must worship the living Christ.
Please join me for our call to worship. His name is wonderful. Page 174 or on the screen.
You have called us to worship. You have given us a risen Savior to worship. You have given us the power of the Holy Spirit to continue in our worship, and you are present with us. May the people who shout hallelujah to God because he has come be the people that are here worshiping and singing praises to God. And may we worship you with all that we are, with every ounce of our being, and with the power of the Holy Spirit. Christ is risen. Christ is risen indeed. Amen. Our hymn is Christ the Lord is Risen Today. Please sing it as you mean it. would ask you now to join us in our confession and pardon as we prepare our hearts and souls for communion. You will find it on page 8 or the screen. Let us join together. Merciful God, we confess that we have not loved you with our whole heart. We have failed to be an obedient church. We have not done your will. We have broken your law. We have rebelled against your love. We have not loved our neighbors, and we have not heard the cry of the needy. Forgive us, we pray. Free us for joyful obedience through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. You may be seated. Let us pray together. The people around the world that worship you, O Lord, have been singing songs this week. We have sung about songs about your Holy Supper. We have sung songs about your death. We have looked at the week as you have moved. We have even had palm branches in this room. And we have watched as we have celebrated your entrance. We have moved through this week from Palm Sunday through Maundy Thursday into Good Friday and the silence of the Holy Saturday. And now we are here. We are here as the people of God celebrating the great Easter celebration of resurrection. And even though we come to celebrate that great day, we know that around our world, people have not been able to celebrate because of fear of what is going on around them, because of struggle, because of being put out of their land. We know that people this day have struggled because of death and war, and they have struggled because of just simply the circumstances of their lives and the walk that they are in. We offer you, ask, O Lord, that you would give them the power and presence of your Holy Spirit, that you would feed them and water them both with food and water from this land as you broke bread and fed 5,000 when they were not enough. Let them be fed by that bread this day, but also the water of the Holy Spirit from a well that we will never run dry and we will never be thirsty again. We would ask the same for our land, that on this day, as people forget about the holiness of this day, as they do not participate in this day as they once did, we ask that you would call us back to that worship, call us back to that giving, call us back to the power of your Holy Spirit. And that for those of us who have come and are here today, that we have felt the presence of your love and your grace, and that you walk with us and give us all that we need and all that we are. Now let us hold you close to us as you hold us even closer to you. And in doing that, O Lord, we ask that you would allow us to lift up holy names in prayer, whether we do it silently or verbally for all to hear, so that we can be a family of God praying together. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayers. And we would especially this morning pray for those prayer requests from Chevron and from Pleasant Hill, that we would add those requests to the prayers that have been lifted up by these, your people here at Rockwood, so that we, the family of God, are praying together. And then we ask, O Lord, that you allow us on this day to hear your words, be in prayer together, and give thanks. For we truly do serve a risen Savior. And we ask this prayer in the name of the one that died on the cross and rose again the third day, Jesus the Christ. In his name we pray. Amen. Easter Sunday is not Easter Sunday, at least for me, maybe not for y'all that way, but for me, until we sing Up From the Grave He Arose. It is page 322. Let us stand and let us sing together. Up from the grave he arose. You may be seated. We ask our ushers to come forth this time, please. Let us pray together. Your gift is the gift we celebrate today, the gift of resurrection. Now let us give to you as if we truly believe it. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.
Because He lives, I can face tomorrow. Because He lives, all fear is gone.
And if you would please stand for the reading of God's Word. Our scripture reading today comes from the book of Mark, chapter 16, verses 1 through 8. When the Sabbath was over, Mary Magdalene and Mary, the mother of James, and Salome bought spices so that they might go and anoint him. And very early on the first day of the week, when the sun had risen, they went to the tomb. They had been saying to one another, "Who will roll away the stone for us from the entrance to the tomb?" When they looked up, they saw that the stone, which was very large, had already been rolled back. As they entered the tomb, they saw a young man dressed in a white robe sitting on the right side, and they were alarmed. But he said to them, "Do not be alarmed. You are looking for Jesus of Nazareth, who was crucified. He has been raised. He is not here. Look, there is the place they laid him. But go, tell his disciples and Peter that he is going ahead of you to Galilee. There you will see him, just as he told you." So they went out and fled from the tomb, for terror and amazement had seized them. And they said nothing to anyone, for they were afraid. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
Let us pray. Because He lives, because He lives, because He lives, we can face tomorrow and anything that is in front of us. Because He lives, we can go through the 40 days of Lent, looking forward to that time when we celebrate His living. Because of Him living, we can celebrate today. God's blessings upon each of us that have gathered here. May the power of the Holy Spirit truly be in us. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. So out of curiosity, any of y'all not heard the Easter story before? In the United States today, there is over 40% of the people in our country who have never heard the Easter story. Around the world, there's over 60% of our world that have never read or heard the Easter story. Our generations have changed, and as you know by your own families and your own churches and this church, people have left and are not coming the way they used to be in church. They have become less and less knowledgeable about this day. So I get up this morning with that thought in mind. Anybody want to guess what music I listen to? My family cannot answer. It's exactly right. I listen to Christmas music at my first awakening today. You know why I did that? Number one, I like Christmas music, but there's a really main reason. Since December 24th to March the 31st, you have celebrated his birth. You have went through the Epiphany. You have come through a process of looking at Lent. And you've walked through a 40 days of Lent that have led us to Holy Week. You have watched the palms be brought. You have seen us talk about the entrance. You have lived through Holy Week, including the Last Supper, the Good Friday celebration of his death and resurrection, of his death, of the Holy Saturday, and now Sunday, the resurrection of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. You've only done that from December 24th to March 31st. So I guess we're done for the year. Amen. Do I get to go home and rest now? Is that how that works? Let's go. Think of the process of this. We'll now spend the rest of the year teaching parables and learning about what is going to occur in Christ's life, in our lives, as we follow God and as we walk through the process of being with God. It is a time of learning coming up. Part of that will be learning about what we should have learned back now. Other parts will be learning about other parts of Jesus' life and the lives of his apostles and the people who follow. And every bit of that, we are trying to follow a path of knowing what God is teaching and what God is doing. And yet we come back to this day. A day that women go to the tomb. If you listen to it very carefully, they go to the tomb expecting what? They go to the tomb expecting the dead man. They fully expect to find Jesus dead, laying in the tomb with no life, and they're going to completely then finish the burial process and get him to the other side of that. We're going to find him there, as far as they know. And yet when they get there, what do they find? A young man dressed in white. And what is he doing? He's not getting a drink of water like I'm getting ready to do. Thank you. What is he doing? He is sitting there. He's sitting there, and they come in, and what is his response? He's not here. Now, words that were used in this scripture, if you paid attention to them, were terror. They're terribly afraid of what's about to happen. Who's going to roll the stone away? Who's going to let us in? Are they even going to let us in? Will the Roman soldiers allow us in there to finish our work? What will occur when we get there? How is it going to unfold? The three women go, ladies, I always make my men mad, and I always get comments from the internet when I say what I'm about to say. But I'm going to say it anyway, because I think I like their comments now. Who was at the tomb the very first time? Ladies, who? Men did not show up. Where are the men? They're hiding for fear of their life. Now, at that time, the men would have been the ones that attacked first, and I get that. At that time, the men would be the ones who are going to carry out the process of Jesus' ministry, and I get that. I understand the process, but women understand the first missionaries of the church were women. How do we know that? Just read the names. And what is their job? Their job is to go and prepare the body so it can be eternally in that tomb. And yet when they get there, he's not there. And they're afraid. What's the process of this? As you go back to Christmas. The reason I go back and listen to Christmas music. When you see the angel come to Mary and Joseph, what is the first response of both of them? They're afraid. When they go to the shepherds, what's the first response? They're afraid. When they go to the tomb, what's the first response? There's terror. And when Jesus, on the day of his resurrection, goes to the upper room to meet with the apostles, it's not in this scripture, but in others, he walks in through the doors, right? No, he comes in through the walls. And he appears to them. and they are unsure and afraid. It tells us something about us. We're afraid of God's actions that are not the same as we expected them to be. We're afraid of the supernatural of God. We're afraid of the power of the Holy Spirit. We're afraid of how these things unfold because they are not the norm of our life. When's the last time you were in a room and somebody came in through the walls without having to open the door? They come to the men. And I don't know if you noticed the reading, but he told the women, go tell the apostles and Peter. You've got to love this moment. Why is Peter singled out? Remember, he's the one that before the cock crew, he denied him, he denied him three times. Let Peter know I'm coming to see him too. Let him know that what he did, he's about to be forgiven for, because when I gave the commandment on Maundy Thursday night to love one another, I'm going to show him what true love actually is so he can model it. He's risen from the dead. Now, a part that we didn't read, you notice when he put the scripture up, a lot of our Bibles will say the short end and the long end and all these different things when it comes to the reading of this scripture. But when you come to this, it says this in what is verse 9. Now, after he rose early on the first day of the week, he appeared first to Mary Magdalene, from whom he had cast out seven demons. She went out and told those who had been with him while they were mourning and weeping. But when they heard that he was alive and had been seen by her, they would not believe it. I would suggest to you that we as the church, the people of God, at times lose our belief in what God has promised us. We have been promised everlasting life through our faith in Jesus Christ. You have it. You don't have to do anything for it except have faith in Christ as your Lord and Savior. It is given to you. But just as the apostles did on this day, just as the women did when they entered the tomb until they encounter the living God, if you listen to it carefully, we tend as people to begin with doubt and then have to work towards faith. What Jesus wants us to do in our love for him and the love for each other and in our faith with him is to begin with faith and not let doubt ensue or invade us. Not let it change us and make us different. It is his wish. And my family hears this all the time, and the church here who are with me in Bible study and other places hear this all the time. His wish is for us to be at peace within our own soul. To be totally and completely at peace. Not to believe we're right all the time. Not to do everything right all the time. Not that we don't make mistakes. Not that we don't have to ask forgiveness. But inside of you, if you believe in the risen Christ, the one that we celebrate today when we sing Christ the Lord is risen today and up from the grave he arose. If you believe in that risen Christ, inside of you is a peacefulness of the Holy Spirit that has guided you and does guide you and gives you rest and peace and hope even in the midst of hopelessness. I'm always reminded of the storm when Jesus is asleep in the boat. And sometimes I think we feel this way. The apostles are there, and what are they doing with the buckets? The wind's blowing, the rain's coming in, they're dishing the water out of the boat because they're afraid they're going to all drown, the boat's going to capsize, they think there's no hope, and Jesus is doing what? So sleeping. Jesus really isn't worried about drowning. Why would the one who can walk on water be afraid of drowning? And when they wake him up, what does he do? He looks at the winds and the waves and says, stop. And all the apostles go, wow, who is this guy that even the winds and the waves obey him? See, he's the one that dies on the cross, commits his spirit, and on the third day rises from the dead. He's the one that wants us, every one of us, to feel and know that our salvation is sure, our faith is complete in him, and that we have eternal life through him, and we can be at peace with ourselves and with God. How many of us this day can say we are at peace? Or how many of y'all worry so much that you can't get past your own worry? I want you to hear his voice. I want you to watch him walk through walls. I want you to feel him say it's okay. And I want you to know that the power and the Spirit of God is not only in this room, but my friends, it is in your body and your soul. Whether you have believed or not, if you've not believed, then it is the power of prevenient grace telling you you need to. If you have believed, it is the power of sanctification and justification telling you you have God. I want you to feel the presence of the Holy Spirit. Go tell the apostles and Peter, I'm coming, and it's all right. So if you are one of those who have denied, you are one of those who have doubts, you're one of those who just can't quite simply put your trust in God, whether you believe it or not, just as when Peter, he's coming. In fact, don't look, he's already here. And he will not leave you. And he will not forsake you, even when you want him to. Christ the Lord is risen today. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Would ask you to join us for our communion. Would say to you, if you are visiting with us, that the United Methodist Church believes truly that this is an open table. We do not judge you. We leave that to you and God. We do not stop you, because this may be the chance for you to come to the table for the first time and accept Christ as your Lord and Savior. We will serve by bread and our small cups. The dear folks who will be serving will hand you a piece of bread and a cup for you to partake. You're welcome to pray with the Easter lilies on the altar and enjoy them. We invite you to come and be there. We want you to come and partake as God leads you to do so. You will find the communion on page 15 in your hymn book, or you will see it on the screen. You will hear my words be slightly different than yours, because I am doing the full service of communion for Easter Sunday morning. Page 15 just has the brief service. I promise you I'll come back to you. Let us prepare our hearts and souls for this time of communion. Ladies. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them up to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give our thanks and praise.
It is right and a good and joyful thing always and everywhere to give thanks to you, Father Almighty, Creator of heaven and earth. You formed us in your image and breathed into us the breath of life. When we turned away and our love failed, your love remained steadfast. You delivered us from captivity, made covenant to be our sovereign God, brought us to a land flowing with milk and honey, and set before us the way of life. And so with your people on earth and all the company of heaven, we praise your name and join their unending hymn, Holy, Holy, Holy Lord, God of power and might. Heaven and earth are full of your glory. Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. Holy are you, and blessed is your Son, Jesus Christ. By the baptism of his suffering, death, and resurrection, you gave birth to your church, delivered us from slavery to sin and death, and made with us a new covenant by water and the Spirit. By your great mercy, we have been born anew to a living hope through the resurrection of your Son from the dead, and to an inheritance that is imperishable, undefiled, and unfading. Once we were no people, but now we are your people, declaring your wonderful deeds in Christ, who called us out of darkness into marvelous light. When the Lord Jesus ascended, he promised to be with us always, and the power of your word and Holy Spirit. On the night in which he gave himself up for us, he took bread, gave thanks to you, broke the bread, gave it to disciples and said, "Take, eat, this is my body which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." When the supper was over, he took the cup, gave thanks to you, gave it to disciples and said, "Drink from this, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant poured out for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." On the day you raised from the dead, he was recognized by his disciples in the breaking of bread and the power of the Holy Spirit. Your church has continued in the breaking of the bread and the sharing of the cup. And so, in remembrance of these your mighty acts in Jesus Christ, we offer ourselves in praise and thanksgiving as a holy and living sacrifice in union with Christ offered for us as we proclaim the mystery of faith. Christ has died. Christ is risen. Christ will come again. Pour out your Holy Spirit on us gathered here and on these gifts of bread and wine. May them be for us the body and blood of Christ, that we may be for the body, the blood of Christ, redeemed by his blood. By your Spirit, make us one with Christ, one with each other, and one in ministry to all the world, until Christ comes in final victory and we feast at his heavenly banquet. Through your Son, Jesus Christ, with the Holy Spirit, in your holy church, all honor and glory is yours, Almighty Father, now and forever. Amen. And now allow us to pray the prayer that you taught your children, the apostles, when you said to them, "Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen." Our ladies will present and give the communion to each of you. They think they're going to serve the choir first, and then they will come down. Come as you are led. You do not have to wait on others. Come as God leads you. Let us serve together. Before we sing our final hymn, which is He Lives, page 310 or on the screen, we want to thank everyone who gave the Easter lilies for our morning service. They look beautiful. Do me a favor, take them home. I'm highly allergic to them, and you could tell by my voice how that went this morning. And so feel free to take them with you if you gave them this morning. But we do truly do love them in church. So it's kind of like, I really want to see them, and then I really want them to go. It's like having visitors sometimes. Anyway, so it is really good that they are here. I also do want to thank our visitors and everybody, the members of the church, for being with us today. It is a great day to worship Jesus. Now let's sing He Lives, page 310. Friends, I hope you have great plans for this Easter to be with family and to celebrate Christ's love. You will be dismissed when you sing Shalom to me at the end, Shalom at the end of service, right after our closing prayer. Go in peace. May God's blessings be upon you. This is the day the Lord has made, and we have worshiped, and we have sung, and we have taken your communion. We have heard your word read and it's proclaimed. And we have felt your spirit. If we have not felt your spirit, we pray for the peace and the love of your spirit to be upon those who did not. May their grace, your grace, be upon them, and may they find you in all that they say and do. Let us go in peace. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, we go forth. Amen.
Amen.